Welcome back to The Word at Work. This is the podcast for Christian professionals where we dig into topics to support you in thriving professionally and, of greatest importance, living biblically. I'm your host, Miranda Carls. Well, today we get to chat with Kevin Anselmo. He's the founder of Experiential Communications, and we're going to talk about a topic that I'm sure most all of us have had to face. We'll be chatting about how we can best view and navigate career disappointments as a Christian. Kevin, so good to have you on here today.
Likewise, Miranda. After reading your book and listening to your podcast, I feel like I know you a little bit, and a great opportunity to connect with you here on Zoom and this podcast, and also to discuss the topic of career disappointments with your audience.
Yeah, this will be fun. I love this topic because career disappointments, while it's maybe not something that we talk about a lot, it's something that all of us will undoubtedly face on some scale at some point. And you've written a book, Reframing Career Success, and you also wrote a really insightful article on this topic that I read on your site a while back. And I think, you know, most of us write from lived experience. So I'd love to tee this up again, knowing we all face career disappointments. What are some of the career disappointments that you've experienced personally, Kevin?
Yeah, I really just believe that this is something that is near and dear to my heart, because I feel like, especially in Christian circles, a lot of times we hear the stories of, you know, and I'm paraphrasing this, but like, I prayed, God bless me, I'm rich, thank God. And that's great for those people that experience that. However, I don't necessarily think that's the reality for many, for all anyway. And I know there's a lot of people who, like me, have gone through different disappointments, and we have prayed and we have sought the Lord, and things didn't work out the way we wanted to. And so for me, I'll share two different disappointments. One, this is about, about 15 years ago. I was working at a business school in Switzerland. I worked in Europe for many years. And it was interesting. I was doing a devotional down by the lake before work, and it was about, you know, trusting God, getting your identity from God. I come into work and I get a call from the dean asking to see me, and I have to go to his office. And basically, I got reamed out for something that I thought was quite unjustifiable. Mm. And I remember, like, I wasn't able to sleep for like 2 days. I was so distraught and destroyed from that. I'm like, why am I thinking this? I just read this devotion where I'm not getting my identity from what a man thinks of me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why is that? The other one I'll share very briefly is I started my own business in 2013 and have launched different ideas. Some have worked, some haven't. One that was particularly difficult for me was in 2019-ish, I started this program called Global Innovators Academy. And my dream for Global Innovators Academy was, are you familiar with Khan Academy? The math. Yeah. So my aspiration was that Global Innovators Academy would basically be like the Khan Academy, but for communications. And mm-hmm. so teaching students in a very pragmatic way, how to write, how to get feedback. And, you know, I put so much time and effort into this program and, you know, prayed and, you know, God brought to me different people to collaborate with. And really this program and this initiative never really worked out and grew the way I had envisioned. And it was a couple of years ago, I decided I'm going to call a coach because maybe I just need some marketing help, right? Maybe I'm just not positioning this the right way. And basically what this coach told me, which was hard to hear, but terrific. He's like, I'm not really sure about the viability of this. And I remember again being like, really just for 2 days, just kind of out of it. I didn't really want to talk mm-hmm. to anyone and was just feeling just quite down. And, you know, I think that it is something where in both cases, like, you know, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm, you know, reading devotionals. And why is my identity so altered by these sorts of results? And anyway, the good news for the second one is that's what set me on a course to go explore this topic of career disappointments in this book that I've written called Reframing Career Success. So, you know, I see the silver lining in that way.
Yeah, that happens so often where it's the difficult and the not fun things that we go through that end up being used to help others. And I thank you for sharing those examples, Kevin. I think we can all relate to that in various ways, and that feeling of being really excited about something, yeah, getting our hopes up, putting so much effort into it, and then it not happening. I remember several years back, I applied for a job I was really excited about, mm-hmm, and I went through, there were like six rounds of this process, and I made it down to the final two, and then I didn't get selected, the other person, yeah, did. And just that feeling of like, oh man, and that, even that feeling of, well, what was that all for, God? And I think it's so easy for us to fall into that mindset, and then it can be a slippery slope toward like prosperity gospel, or absolutely, kind of false teachings like that. So I think this is such an important topic and something for us to pay really good attention to, what's happening in our hearts. Do you, Kevin, as you look back at those instances and other disappointments, do you see them differently now than you did in the moments, yeah, following?
Well, absolutely. And I'll just say, just to maybe piggyback on a topic you raised, this idea of prosperity gospel, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I look at it as like there's two flavors of prosperity gospel, overt, like, which is, I think we kind of know these, you know, these pastors who are driving around, yeah, like the jets and
the Benny, you know, Hinn kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So they're proclaiming that from the stage, right? I think a lot of us, like, I'm very much like I kind of wrote this book indirectly thinking like, here's like the anti-prosperity gospel. But indirectly, I think a lot of us, without realizing it, just kind of think we're owed a certain amount, like you're talking about this, mm, you know, applying for this job. And I think there's this kind of subtle, indirect, we don't even realize it, where we just kind of think that, you know, maybe we wouldn't say it this way, but like kind of God owes us this, right? Or, mm, you know, circumstances owe us this outcome. And, you know, I think it's just quite, I think we always need to be kind of checking our hearts and, mm, realizing our motivations and the temptations that exist as we try to explore and be ambitious in living out our calling and what we think God has us to do on this earth. In answer to the question about how do I look at it differently? So, yeah, I mean, I would like to think it's just part of it is the maturity process. So, like, I would like to think that when if I were to be chastised in the way I was in the first example I shared by the dean, I would like to think that I could take the feedback and process that in a positive way and not have it, you know, affect my health and my sleep and so forth. And I think God gives us these different types of learning experiences. I'd like to think that's the case. And, you know, like I say, for the example of this project that didn't work out, you know, Michael Hyatt is someone who I enjoy reading his, mm-hmm, content. And, you know, one of the things that I got from him was, you know, when things don't go the way we want, we can ask this question. I think we can ask this question from a Christian perspective. What does this make possible? Right. So, you know, it's hard to see that in the moment. Right. I think it's easier to look back in the rearview mirror and see that. Hopefully, I would like to think now with some more gray hairs, that and a bit more wisdom in life that, you know, when things don't go according to plan, we can look back and say, oh, wait, that didn't happen the way we wanted to. Well, okay, look at these other ways where things in my life didn't happen the way I wanted to, and look how my life has played out. So I'd like, mm-hmm, to think that there's perspective and maturity and trust in God and God's plans for when things don't work out the way we want. Yeah. There's hope.
Yeah. You know, that's so true what you're saying. And as I look back on disappointments I've faced, I'm always just really incredibly aware of like how stupid I am and how like all knowing God is. And there's so much value in that perspective, because we can forget that. We can really think that we know what's best, or we know what the right path forward is. But as I look back, I see his wisdom in so many things that I couldn't have seen. I can look back, like you said, with gratitude for missed opportunities because of what they allowed for. I love that you highlighted that. And then also it's not always that way. Sometimes we have to lean into a contentment,
absolutely,
of knowing that we might not always know why something didn't work out, right?
Yeah. I mean, there is this like narrative, right? Like America likes rags to riches stories, and there's, uh-huh, this rags to riches, yeah, stories in Christianity as well. Like, and work, like, okay, like I was on food stamps and I've trusted God and now I'm at this result. Or even like what I'm sharing too is like, I'm happy with the way this result has played out, right? This project didn't work out and I'm happy doing the way that has opened doors for me. And I think you would probably relate to that as well. But you're absolutely right. Like, we should be like, okay, this project didn't work out. And actually, as a result, I'm not actually doing something that I like more, or, you know, or maybe I'm making less money or less prestige. And, but we need to be content with that, trusting that that's what God has for us. So I think that that's a very important distinction. I was actually getting ready to say that, and I'm glad you shared as well. So I think that's a really important point.
Yeah. Let's talk about that mindset a little bit more, because I know you write a lot about that. So specifically the Christian mindset, how should our mindset about career disappointments be different than maybe the mindset we might see others hold that don't share in our belief system?
So first of all, one thing I think is really important is about having eternal perspective, right? So, I would like to think that as Christians, we don't have to just think about what's happening here on earth. We can think about how this plays a role in the kingdom of God and for eternity. You know, Francis Chan has this famous sermon where he brings out the rope. Have you ever seen this? Where he has this rope and he just kind of, it's fascinating. He just basically whirls out this rope. And it's and it's a rope that just feels like it's never ending. And he says, you know, the tip of this rope is basically our time on earth. And then if you look at the rest of this rope, this is eternity. And look, it doesn't stop. And I feel like all of us with our work, we put so much emphasis on the tip, right? Instead of thinking, now, obviously, I'm not saying that, you know, well, just think about eternity and who cares about work. That's not what I think the message of the Bible is about our work. However, I think we need to find that right balance in realizing that God has a calling for us in our work. We're to do our best work unto the Lord. It contributes to the flourishing of the world. But at the same time, we can have this eternal perspective, realizing that our work on earth is temporary. That's one. I think there's this narrative in Christian circles around pray, trust God, get rich. But there's also, if you look at the Bible, there's a lot of ways where that doesn't happen, right? So let's just think about the Genesis, right? What is the punishment for mankind for sin? One of the punishments is painful toil, right? Mm-hmm. So I like to, and I never thought about this before in quite the way I do now, because I wrote this book and have processed this. I'm going to have bad days. I'm sure you're going to have bad days. I'm going to do work I don't always enjoy. And, you know, as consultants ourselves, you know, we're able to select the type of work that we want to do. And for the most part, I'm grateful that I would say 90% of the work I do, I enjoy. But there's always parts of the work I don't enjoy. And you know what I say is like, that's okay. This is like, I believe this is part of our story of, you know, what has happened as a result of the fall of mankind. So the idea of painful toil, if you think about like the book of Ecclesiastes, we know there's a season for everything, right? And there's a number of ways that's played out. If you read the epistles of Paul, he talks very overtly, not about, you know, living a life on the beach and, you know, generating passive income as he's sitting there in the sun. You know, it's sufferings. He's in jail and yet he's rejoicing. If you even look at Jesus, I like to say, like, you know, Jesus's pinnacle moment of his quote unquote career was his death on the cross and resurrection. And that was obviously not at all like a wonderful experience. And actually, Jesus experienced a lot of pain and disappointment much more profoundly than anything I ever shared or that you shared about not getting a job or you know, initiative not growing, right? Jesus experienced the ultimate betrayal. Like we've all experienced, I think, betrayal to a certain extent at work, probably a, you know, colleague takes credit for a project or you get blamed for something. You know, think about the betrayal that Christ experienced. Think about the suffering that Christ experienced. Think about like the humiliation, right? Like it was humiliating for me to be reamed out by the dean, right? There was one person there and then there was an assistant in the background, right? So I was humiliated in front of two people and maybe a few of my colleagues who I talked to. Think about the humiliation that Christ experienced. And so I think all of this idea of looking at, as Christians, how do we view disappointments? And I think if we can view disappointments by looking at the Bible kind of comprehensively, I think that can help shape how we experience our own disappointments. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That's so good. And it, to your point, we don't, a lot of the things that we expect or want to expect, we don't see in scripture as the expectations that we should have. We do tend to, and something you write a lot about is conflating God's blessing with monetary blessing or career achievement, which is not something we're told to expect as followers of Jesus. We're not told to expect financial blessing or career success. So what's the trap in that?
So, yeah, this is again like subtle prosperity gospel, in my opinion. And it's really,
Slippery.
we say it's very slippery, and we can say it all the time. Like, think about if go on your social media platform of choice and type in the hashtag so blessed, right? And you'll see a million different people posting about how they've been so blessed with a wonderful vacation, a wonderful promotion, a wonderful, you name it. And even actually, we hear it from pastors all the time. They'll go back up on the pulpit and say, our church is being so blessed with this growth and with this new building and so forth. And I just think it's very dangerous. Like, so, and for a few reasons. One, so in the Old Testament, there is this idea of a blessing at times linking to material prosperity, let's say. All the Old Testament, as we know, points to the New Testament. So in the New Testament, and I never knew this before I wrote this book and started researching this, so don't think I'm super wise in this way. Okay. In the New Testament, the word blessing is used 44 times. And according to a researcher named Daniel Boorman, not one time is the word blessing associated with prosperity, material prosperity. And actually, if you think what is the most common time that we hear this word blessing, it's the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the peacemakers, right? And I think there's a reason for that. What is the definition actually of blessing? So go to Google, right? I'm not saying you have to go read some Christian theological book. If you Google the definition of blessing, it's called made holy and consecrated is what we'll say, right? And so, and then I don't speak any Greek and don't want to pretend that I'm some guy who went to a seminary and studied Greek, but what I did discover in the process of writing this book, the word blessing, as it was written in the original Greek, is the word makarioi, which is spelled Makarioi. And what that means in Greek is fully satisfied. So if we think about this word blessing, it's about being satisfied in Christ. It's not about some sort of result that we would have achieved because of some sort of action. And I think too often, many of us hijack this idea of blessing to make it fit our own career agendas, and it's very unfortunate because I don't think that's what a blessing is intended as we think about our work. And so surely at the same time, every good gift does come from God, right? And every bad gift also comes from God that we might not like. But I think ultimately if we think about our work in this idea of being holy, being satisfied in Christ, that I think can anchor us a lot more than putting our hopes in a job promotion, how a campaign, succeeds or doesn't succeed, and a host of other examples.
Yeah, those are such good reminders. I love how you used the word balance earlier, because it is this balance of like, yes, bring your desires to the Lord, ask for wisdom and guidance with your career, and direct that praise and gratitude toward Him when things do go well, but also not getting that mindset skewed to where we conflate the two, that or slip into something that looks a little more like prosperity gospel. It's a balance. I think it's all a balance, but it's a really beautiful balance for us as Christians. When I work with teams and leaders, I want them to be successful. I want them to grow and absolutely kill it in their careers. If that weren't a desire of mine, I'd probably really hate my job. But there's also this beautiful gift that we have as Christians where, like you said, we know the bigger picture and we can see career successes and disappointments in a more appropriate perspective next to that grander spiritual battle that's happening and the bigger story of the gospel and redemption and eternity. And that knowledge can be that gift of perspective in and of itself.
I think our faith is our number one source of identity. And so I think it's really important in the workplace to have these discussions about how our faith, regardless of what it is, connects to our jobs.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So one other point I just wanted to make is the idea around having, like, I don't, with everything that I've shared, I don't necessarily think like we should have low goals, right? I don't think, like, I actually think it's great to have big goals, right? Like, I want my projects to be successful, you know, and I define, I think it's really important for us to define what success means. But I don't necessarily think God wants us to aim for mediocrity, just knowing, well, you know, and I kind of shared this before, you know, oh, well, just, you know, just doesn't matter. Like, I think we are to do our very best work as God has given us, you know, our different gifts, our different talents, different resources. I just think a big part of it is around having that perspective. And so I actually think having that perspective can free us up to think big, because we know, like, you know what, if that doesn't, if that big goal that we have established doesn't work out the way we want, well, guess what? We don't get our identity from that. So for me, it's a very freeing message that I think is sometimes lost in with all the noise that is out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And really just surrendering to his will. You know, we're all living our own lives and leaning into the paths and the opportunities that God has placed in front of us. So lean into it, whether it's big or seems small. If it has kingdom impact, it has significance, and it's not about us anyway. I mean, the Holy Spirit can work through those little acts of surrender that we lean into.
Absolutely. And we know God doesn't show favoritism. That's actually something I just, a message I heard this morning. But the other thing is, like, the and this kind of goes back to one of your earlier questions, like, metrics for success from a Christian perspective and metrics for success from, you know, a quote unquote, like, secular perspective, like, usually the metric for success is money, prestige, influence, power, right? And I think those things aren't necessarily wrong from a Christian point of view. However, they can be if we go about achieving those in the wrong way. And so the example of, so Billy Graham wouldn't be a good example because it seems like he was a good person, but, like, let's say you have someone who is in a position of power and a person who is, you know, doing great work, and it's very, it's, you know, kind of unheralded, not really recognized. Who's a quote unquote greater success? And we might think, oh, this person of power. Well, how do we know, like, how that person, you know, that has fame and recognition, how do we know what that person's journey was actually like? How do we know that the way that person actually lived? Did that person sacrifice, you know, did that person work 120 hours a week in order to get to that position of power, and in the process, you know, sabotage relationships? Did that person abuse colleagues in order to reach a position of power? So, you know, and if we think about that, well, okay, actually this person who's unheralded is, you know, maybe more of a quote unquote success. I would actually like to think that from, by taking into account, like, how we actually reach our journey, like how we treat others and so forth. And so I guess it all goes back to the point, like, God's, I believe God's metrics for success and the world's metrics for success are quite different.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, this has been such a good chat, Kevin. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the Christian professionals who are listening in today?
So I guess one thing, and this is the point of my book, is to really be very clear about what success means to you. And I think, you know, if I were to ask you, Miranda, if I were to ask myself, if I were to ask your listeners, you know, how do you define success? First of all, a lot of people don't actually think about what we say we want to be successful, or we want to make a difference, or we want to be good colleagues. Like, think really clearly about what success looks like for yourself, and incorporate, if you are, I'm assuming most of the people listening in on this podcast are believers, think about your definition of success from a Christian perspective. And I think when we can anchor ourselves and have clarity around what is our definition of success, that can provide us peace, that can provide us contentment, and that can provide us motivation through the different ups and downs, disappointments. You know, we don't have to get too low. Great results, we don't have to get too high, because we realize that those results are temporary. But I think it's a matter of having clarity and taking in clarity by taking into account a Christian perspective. And so that's a message I leave with your listeners here.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Word at Work. If you enjoy this podcast or get something good out of it, be sure to like, subscribe, and the biggest compliment you can give us is to share this episode with friends. Thanks so much again for tuning in, and we will see you next time.